sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.
Hello, world, and welcome to Ask Udi, the podcast where listeners get their questions on SOA and web services answered. This is your host, Udi Dahan, bringing you the cold hard facts you need to make decisions about SOA. I am the software simplest, helping you keep it simple. This podcast is brought to you exclusively by Dr. Dobbs Journal, leading the computer press in covering practical technology, languages, platforms, and tools, online at www.ddj.com. Also, don't forget to visit my blog, www.udidahan.com, for more information. Our question this week comes from Nathan, who asks, I've been hearing a lot about REST lately and of its popularity in web-based systems. How do REST, SOA, and web services fit together? Well, the whole issue about REST versus web services has been going on and on for quite some time now. I think we've already passed the one-year mark. REST, just for the people who haven't been following it, it's REST, which stands for Representational State Transfer. Now, the general idea behind this architectural style is that the system is viewed as a set of resources whose state is represented via some URL, and that state can be transferred to some other state by performing a POST operation on the resource. You can probably guess that REST is very heavily entrenched in HTTP thinking, and you'll find that most of REST's proponents are not only REST proponents, but they're also HTTP proponents, as in HTTP everywhere, HTTP being the protocol of the future, the protocol of the web, the protocol that everybody should be using. Despite its obvious limitation when it comes to enterprise systems, when we're talking about reliable messaging and those sorts of things. So, like I said before, there's been quite a lot of discussions going on as to the REST web services or the specific web service specifications conflict, where each camp is pretty much saying, you know, our style of working, our architectural style is the right way to do SOA, it's the right way to develop distributed systems, and your way couldn't possibly work. Now, as what happens in most of these discussions, proponents on each of their sides, each one of them pretty much understands their own way of working pretty well and doesn't really listen to what the other side describes as their way of working. Also, you have a number of evangelist types, which are there either backed by vendors or independent consultants that have some sort of stake in that architectural style and don't actually build systems in that way. What you often find is that the description that they have of their chosen architectural style is actually wrong. So you have these very interesting discussions going on between two diametrically opposed camps that don't listen to each other. And in many cases, those people that are actually having the discussions, while everybody else is sort of listening in from the sidelines, are really describing their side in probably the worst way possible. So let's sort of back up and take a look at what was the whole purpose of SOA when it sort of came out. Well, SOA, this idea of services, we should be building our system as a loosely coupled group of services that interact with each other in a loosely coupled manner. Pretty much the main idea here being loosely coupled. Now, the people on the REST camp will say, well, there's nothing more or rather less coupled than our way of working because we have such a tight API. We do everything with HTTP's core verbs, meaning get and post. And they pretty much say, well, you can build an entire system entirely out of get and post. Get for obviously retrieving data, post for changing data. Whereas the web services camp say, well, that may be a very tight interface, but it is so coarse-grained that while being good for everything, it is equally not good for something specific. So the web services camp, or rather the people talking about the web services camp, describe their style of architecture as exposing web methods that accept parameters, and all this really being described in a WSDL file, a WSDL file. And they describe this way of working as being superior to REST in that the interfaces or the WSDL file that is generated from their style of working is specific to the system at hand, in which case the consumer of such a service would know exactly what he's dealing with. If we were to sort of take a real concrete look at REST versus WSDL, web services really boils down to WSDL when we're talking about the stage before all the new web services specs started raining down. The main difference between REST and web services is that in the web services style of working, there is a way for machines to talk to each other in order to receive the contract, whereas in REST, there is no such built-in mechanism. So that's the first difference that we're talking about between REST and web services. Actually, if you take a closer look at it, the real question is one of contract. How does a service publish its contract? Web services describe a way in which a service can publish its contract so that consuming services can find out that information and use it, be it at runtime or at development time. Whereas the REST camp, they don't have that option. And in many cases, while they say that you can express an entire system with these basic verbs, eventually you have to get down to, well, when I perform a GET, what is the exact information that I get back? How will I understand it? And when I want to do a POST operation, when I want to change something about a resource, what data do I have to give it? What format does it have to be in? How do I deal with versioning? So REST doesn't really handle the way of describing the structure of the data that has to go back and forth. But today, both camps are really, they still don't have a solution when it comes to the larger versioning questions. Well, I'm pretty sure that most people here or listening to this podcast are familiar with the web services style of working. I wanted to give a more detailed description of the way that you would work doing REST architectural style. So the first thing that comes to mind when we start talking about a distributed system is, what are we distributing and how do we get to it? How do we identify it? The idea behind REST is that our state objects, if we're talking about customers or orders or whatever, they are uniquely identifiable with a URL / URI, in which case, if we wanted to talk about a specific customer and we wanted to get its information, we would open a connection to http yoursite.com / customers / that customer number, and you would perform a GET operation on it, and you'd get all that customer details back. In similar form, that's how you would access all your customers. You'd go to that URI, and the last element of the URI would probably be the identifier of that customer. The same would be true for orders, and the same would be true for employees, and so on and so forth. The general idea being that the entities in our system are accessible from the outside using a URI. And when we want to perform changes on them, then we would simply perform a POST operation on the relevant URI and send it its updated information. If we wanted to change the customer's address, we would perform a POST operation on that customer, send it the new address information, and that would update it. Now, one of the things that REST doesn't specifically discuss is sort of side effects between these entities. For instance, let's say that we added a new order for a customer. As a result of that, the customer's order balance for the quarter has exceeded a certain threshold, and now that customer has become not just a regular customer, it has become a valued customer. There would be no built-in way that would be apparent outside the system. The contract doesn't explicitly describe that in any way. It doesn't provide any way for us to get the information back as a result of that call itself. Obviously, there are a number of things that could happen as a result of any update. And we'd really like a way to express to our clients, hey, this has changed. So this is really something that's problematic with HTTP, or the call it the internet style of HTTP, is that we really don't have a way of pushing information back to the client saying, well, I know that you entered in this new order information, but over here, this URI of the customer has changed as well, and you'll probably want to know what's going on over there. So actually, the same thing is true when you look at web services, or the way that most of the web services stacks are implemented today over HTTP. They have a similar problem. Although there is a WS eventing spec, there really is no defined way of how to get that information back to the client. So REST, again, you're dealing pretty much with your entities. Your entities are pushed forwards. This is what the client code works against. And it uses pretty basic verbs in order to get information. Once again, contract is a bit of a sticky issue that has to be handled out of band of the basic REST. Web services, again, if you look at most of the examples out there, they're pretty simple examples where all you have is a service exposing a bunch of functions, you know, add customer, delete customer, add order, delete order, those sorts of things. And there are problems with that too, of course. Most of the people that I know that have been developing a distributed system using web services have really tightened up their web services definitions, pretty much leaving the web service definition itself almost entirely generic, pretty much having a single web method on it for every web service, the web method being process message, and it would receive a request message as a parameter, and it would return a response message out. And all the definitions about what the kinds of requests are and what the kinds of responses are described also out of band. You could also view that as being very similar to REST in that the contract is handled outside of the WSDL file. So REST and web services, when practiced in the ways that I've seen most people actually build systems that way, and not people just talking about building systems, they aren't actually that different from each other. However, personally, I have a bone to pick with each of them, specifically with HTTP. I don't think that HTTP fits so much the SOA style, not specifically because of the reliable messaging, because, technically speaking, you could implement reliable messaging over HTTP. It's been done. The problem that I have is specifically with the whole issue of events. And like I said in my previous podcast, events and callbacks and ways of pushing information out, publishing information to subscribers, is really key to getting the loosely coupled interactions between services. So, Nathan, I hope that answers your question as to how REST and web services fit or don't fit together, and how each of them fit or don't fit with SOA, or at least my view of SOA. If you have any more questions about REST, or you'd like more information on it, I would definitely point you to the service-oriented architecture discussion group going on at Yahoo. There's been quite a bit of information floating around there, and numerous experts that are involved in those discussions, so there's really a lot to be learned of there. So that wraps it up for the technical part of this podcast. I wanted to end on something of a logistics administrivia note. As of podcast number 3, we have exceeded our 1,000th subscriber. So I'm thrilled. Keep on subscribing. Push this podcast out to all your friends. Let them know what's going on. Send me questions. I like getting the questions. The things that I can't get to on the podcast, or questions that don't quite fit the podcast format, I'd be happy to answer them via email. If you do have a question, send it to podcast@udidahan.com. And also, just generic comments are welcome as well. I do like getting that thank you email telling me how much you enjoyed the podcast. So that's it for this week. Keep on listening, keep on subscribing, keep on sending in those questions. And until next week then, keep it simple.
sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.